Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Now, Alec Baldwin and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. on fracking. You know Mr. Baldwin as the actor and host of the WNYC podcast, Here's the Thing. He's also a longtime critic of U.S. energy policy. RFK Jr. is president of the environmental group Waterkeeper, and he is on Governor Cuomo's high-volume hydraulic fracturing advisory panel. Can you fit that on a business card?
It's not on any business card, as far as I know.
And Alec, welcome back to WNYC as well. Bobby, you wrote a long piece in the Huffington Post last October. I know you have a new one this week, which we'll get to, too. But in the fall, you confessed to having been an early optimist on natural gas, especially in contrast to the horribly polluting coal. Can you tell us about that optimism and a little bit about your evolution?
Well, I spent 30 years working in the coal fields in West Virginia, suing the coal industry, which is really a criminal enterprise, at every level of production, from the extraction of the coal through the distribution, through the burning of the coal. It poisons and kills people. The National Academy of Sciences last August issued a report that showed that every freshwater fish in America now has dangerous levels of mercury in its flesh. Coal has sterilized one out of every five lakes in the Adirondack Mountains and destroyed the forest cover on the high peaks of the Appalachians from Georgia to northern Quebec. It kills, from ozone and particulates, 60,000 Americans a year. That's 20 times the number of people who were killed in the World Trade Center attacks. And mountaintop removal in West Virginia has, over the past 10 years, cut down the 500 biggest mountains in the state. It's leveled an area larger than the state of Delaware, buried illegally 2,200 miles of rivers and streams, and this goes on and on. These are the crimes of coal. We know if you live near a coal plant, you're going to get sick, and many people die from breathing the air. And those who don't are likely to be subject to disease. So gas looks pretty good next to that. Gas cuts down the carbon by about 40%. There's no mercury, there's no ozone in particulates, there's very little acid rain, and we have a lot of it in this country. So we don't have to spend $750 billion bringing oil from abroad. But as it turns out, gas has its own problems as well.
Well, your hope was that the natural gas industry and government regulators would develop practices to make hydrofracking as environmentally safe as possible. But you conclude the opposite has happened. What does that opposite look like?
Well, we've seen the same thing happen that we see with most of the incumbents in the energy, whether it's nuke, coal, oil or gas, that the gas industry couldn't resist the impulse to capture, to use political clout to capture the agencies that are supposed to protect Americans from pollution, and then essentially to disarm them, to race to the bottom, to find the essentially remove any of the safeguards that would have made gas acceptable to most Americans.
Alec, I should disclose, I guess, that the way this visit today came about was because you called our office after the New York Times columnist Joe Nocera was a guest here a few weeks ago and said something supportive about fracking. So let me replay just a little part of that, and you can tell
us
what you reacted to here. Joe Nocera.
Fracking can be done safely if it is regulated properly. And I understand that that creates a whole host of issues, one of which is that fracking is not regulated by the federal government, but it's regulated by the states. Pennsylvania has done a pretty poor job. New York State, let's hope when they approve their rules, they will do it right. That is a problem, no question about it, whether you regulate it properly. Having said that, the core problem that have developed around fracking is actually not the process of fracking or the bringing up of the gas from under the water, and it has more to do with the construction of the well, shoddy well construction that has allowed the methane to seep out, more methane leakage than is acceptable, and so on and so forth. These are solvable problems.
Joe Nocera, the New York Times columnist, on our show a few weeks ago. So, Alec Baldwin, what got you about Joe Nocera there?
Well, I think that for me, the issue with fracking has to do with we already have a heritage of economic activity in the southern tier of New York State, which would be put at risk by this activity. Right away, people who support fracking, all they talk about is jobs. Of course, they say we're going to have abundant natural gas, and Bobby was pointing out how that would benefit us over coal. And who wouldn't want limitless natural gas to come flowing and get us off the whole oil tip, if you will? But the truth of the matter is that this process is a filthy process. It's going to contaminate water potentially. I mean, not always. I'm not someone who's going to say that it consistently does that across the board, but it will contaminate water supplies there in the Marcellus Shale that they're going to be going into in northern Pennsylvania and southern New York, and then who winds up getting the bill for that? But more importantly, we have an economic matrix in place right now in southern New York, which is working quite well as far as tourism is concerned, the jobs it creates. These people are always saying that this fracking is going to be bringing more jobs when, as some of the papers I was reading that were provided to me by Natural Resource Defense Council and by Waterkeeper, were saying that a lot of the technology with fracking brings engineers and technicians from other states who come temporarily. These are not – they don't create as many jobs as people think. People from Louisiana and people from Texas, they come up temporary. They don't buy homes. They don't spend – they send all their money back to their home state. So the idea of income creation and job creation by fracking, I think, is a fallacy.
Now, I see
– add something to
let me just mention to our listeners, I see that our lines are starting to fill up as we talk to Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and Alec Baldwin this morning, but I want some people who don't keep us on our speed on your speed dials to have a chance. So I'm going to give out the number 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Go ahead.
Just to add to supplement what Alec was saying, some of the dairy cooperatives which purchase dairy milk from organic farms in the Catskills and where dairy farming is one of the primary industry, and in the southern tier, have said that they will not purchase milk from areas where the cows have been raised among frack wells because they can't guarantee that those contaminants have not infiltrated the milk.
So there you sit on Governor Cuomo's advisory panel on fracking, which you have described as developing rules under which fracking could safely proceed. Does that mean you're involved with a process that is only asking how to frack and not asking whether or not to allow it at all in New York State?
Well, we haven't. That committee has not been given the power or the authority to say we're going to ban fracking altogether. What the governor asked us to do, number one, is to figure out how much money it would cost to regulate fracking so that it wouldn't cause these problems. And then where is that money going to come from? In most of the states, even if you have really good regulations, if they're not enforced, they really are pretty meaningless. So in New York State, the industry has estimated that they want to build about 46,000 wells. And as Alec was saying, in each one of those wells, you've got to make sure that the casing protocols are sufficient, that the water that is being brought in and out of those wells has been cleaned first. And there's a lot of incentive for those for the companies to cheat, for them to take short.
Like BP, like what we saw down there. I mean, we live in a time now, as most people know. I think most people who are becoming more sophisticated as we see these disasters, they realize that enforcement costs money. A group of people, a business lobby comes into the state house and they say, we want to create a lot of jobs and we want to pump a lot of clean burning natural gas out of the ground. Who's not in favor of that idea? Everybody's in favor. But as Bobby said, the task for the state government, for Cuomo and for his DEC and so forth, is to calculate what would regulation of this cost and what would enforcement cost.
One of the big issues that we're looking at now is that the environmental impact statement that was published by the state and which got a record number of comments in New York State history, there has been nothing like this. We had 89,000 comments to the DEC. But Many of those comments address two major problems, two major defects with that environmental impact statement. One is there is no discussion of healthcare impacts. We now know health impacts from fracking. We now know that fracking is associated with a variety of cancers, asthma, severe respiratory conditions, and other illnesses in Texas, Oklahoma, and other states where this has been studied. Number two, in no place does that environmental impact statement look at the costs, the other costs of fracking to these communities. So everybody can say, yeah, fracking is going to bring some wealth to these communities in the Marcellus Shale. Some people in that community are going to be getting checks at the 25th of every month that may be $15, they may be $1,000. But nobody is looking at the real costs. And now the Department of Transportation has now estimated that the road costs from the trucks going in and out of these sites is going to cost local communities $375 million per year.
And not to mention other community services that those communities will have to bear from the increased presence of workers there working in a dangerous business.
Alec Baldwin, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Michael in Sugarloaf. You're on WNYC. Hello.
Thank you for taking my call, and thank you, gentlemen, for your efforts. I wanted to ask you to comment on something I recently had my eyes open to, and you've touched on it in just mentioning the cost from road usage of trucks. The common conception is of course the doomsday scenario from the chemicals used in this process hitting the water supply. What I learned actually in a seminar by a corporate, I'd say apologist, was that the baseline of this process, the number of trucks, the number of compressors, the decades that each well will stay there, represents the industrialization of huge, huge areas of our state. I don't know if people are aware of that.
Well, that's one of the things that I think is that's one of the major issues that I think the EIS did not really look at. And, you know, in the town that I live in, up in Mount Kisco, New York, we do have a town engineer, but many of the towns in the southern tier do not have a town engineer. So each one of these wells is going to take about 4,200 truck trips to bring clean water into the well and to bring contaminated water out of the well. Each one of those truck trips has the capacity to crush local roads and pulverize local roads and plus stir up dust, run over dogs, run over kids who are on their way to school, all of these other impacts from 4,000 truck trips per well. So who pays when the road gets destroyed? You know, there may be one neighbor who's making money, but all the other neighbors are paying for that road construction. And most of these towns don't, you know, they don't have somebody there who can count the trucks and say, okay, to the gas company, we know that you brought 6,000 or 10,000 or 50,000 trucks through our town last week. You have to pay $10 a truck so we can repair the road damage.
So how do you see your role on this task force? Is it to convince the governor that this is so prohibitively expensive to regulate properly that they shouldn't go forward with it? Or is it to be able to enable an actual safe hydrofracking and help find a way to do that so we can get the benefits and at the same time protect people, protect the environment?
Well, one of the things that the governor is concerned about and has actually, and I've had this conversation with him, that if you ban fracking altogether, that people who had mineral interests under their lands may actually have a lawsuit for a takings against the state of New York. So I think that there's a hesitation to ban it outright, but the governor wants to say, okay, if we're going to do this activity in the state, we want to make sure that it brings benefits to the state, and we want to make sure that the gas industry pays the full cost and is not allowed to externalize the cost of its production while internalizing its profits.
Now, Alec, how do you see your role here? Because a lot of listeners will probably think, okay, Alec Baldwin, good actor. I know he's opinionated and passionate about our world, but not an expert. Right. So how do you see your role?
Well, I'm not an expert, but I hang out with a lot of experts. But, well, for me, I'm When people in my business, I mean, I've been doing this kind of policy-related activism, if you want to call it, for many, many years, whether it's related to federal funding of the arts or specifically environmental things, environmental issues. I'm going up to Syracuse to my mom's neighborhood. My mom lives up there outside of Syracuse. And we're hosting a screening of the film Gasland, the anti-fracking film, and we're having a panel. And Bobby's going to lend me one of the people from his staff. Kate Hudson's going to come up there and speak, and some local activists. And we invited people from the industry. Nobody responded. And, we invited local officials as well.
And I'll mention that listening in the Syracuse area right now, that's Saturday, June 2nd, 6 p.m. I gather you have the filmmaker, Josh Fox, of Gasland there too. And that's at the Landmark Theater
at the Landmark Theater. To answer your question, though, about why I do this. For me, and I've listened to your program many times. I listened to you talk to the guy the other day about thorium, and of course, people in the nuclear business and the nuclear utility business, they're all excited. You know, thorium's the magic juice
magic
now.
Bullet.
Yeah, that's the magic bullet to kind of the smaller, cleaner, better designed reactors, because these guys just don't want to get off the nuclear thing as well. And I have my problems with them, too. I mean, I've listened to the show, and I hear people make all these incomplete statements. Like when you talk about the nuclear power industry, you listen to these guys talk about it as if fissionable rods, as if nuclear fuel grows on some tree somewhere. The mining of uranium and the processing, the processing of uranium into fissionable material for these reactors is one of the dirtiest processes known to man. So when they say they throw the switch and they turn the reactor on and it's clean-burning nuclear power, that's a lie. That's one of the biggest lies that's been, you know, put upon the people of this country. So for me, what I keep striving for in the work I do is to get us toward a saner energy policy.
Kelly in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hi, Kelly.
Hi. I also wanted to point out the contaminated water in Pennsylvania is very often going to Ohio, to wells in Ohio, and they have to be put into wells that are so deep down into the earth. And these people are forcing more and more contaminated waters into their wells that they're actually causing tremors in these communities where there's never been tremors before. So I think that's an issue that we need to address as well.
Yeah, lots of little earthquakes from fracking. Okay. And the more they look at it, the more they find.
Right. The USGS just released a study last week that said that last year there was 134 earthquakes in the Midwestern states compared to an average over the past 30 years of about 21 per year. But since they started fracking, they're looking a lot more earthquakes.
Let me push back a little bit. In November, Bloomberg News had a long article titled "Shale Gas Reserves Have Potential to Reignite U.S. economy." Reignite may have been a bad choice of words considering what's in Gasland. But in 2009, it says, the U.S. passed Russia to become the world's largest producer of natural gas. And it says the anti-fracking documentary Gasland overstated the dangers. Yes, there were about 20 reported cases of groundwater contamination between 2005 and 2009, but some of these were caused by flawed cement, not the fracking process itself. And Pennsylvania has since tightened drilling construction standards. I think that's what Joe Nocera was talking about. And about the famous scene of tap water being set on fire, it says that phenomenon can happen anywhere from methane seeping into household wells and can happen whether or not drilling is taking place nearby. Alec, have you thought about that?
Well, I mean, of course, you have to say to yourself that there are events that are going to happen as a result of energy exploration that come with the territory. You know, we need energy. We're going to drill for oil. Right now, we do have an abundance amount of our energy provided by coal, and there's going to be – it's not a clean process. There are going to be risks involved, and there's going to be threats to public health and safety involved. But the question is, how do you minimize those things, and how do you minimize them from the start going in? Here we have a pristine area in the southern tier of New York State. You have one of the most beautiful and idyllic places in the country, which is of tremendous value to our economy as it exists today. Changing that in any way, I think we should be looking at that very, very carefully. One of the things that's of the biggest concern to me is when they talked about the need for health impact assessments In the paperwork I have, it says in October 2001, 250 doctors wrote to the governor, meaning Cuomo, asking for a health impact statement. In December 2011, prominent cancer researchers and survivors led by Dr. Sandra Steingraber followed suit. Most recently, in January 2012, Christopher Poitier, the director of the National Center for Environmental Health at the Federal Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in Atlanta, Georgia, urged more research is needed for us to understand public health impacts from natural gas drilling and new gas drilling techniques. I mean, I think that's a smart thing for us to do, is to take a look at this more carefully before we go into it full-blown. 46,000 wells.
Taylor in Harlem, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Alec, I really like the point you brought up earlier about the money not staying in the towns. I'm from one of these small towns right in the middle of Marcellus Shale in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. And if you go there, the town looks transformed. So many new things have been built. It's exciting. People are excited. But like you said, it's a lot of hotels. No one's actually buying homes. And a lot of this money is just being sent back to Louisiana and whatnot. And a lot of these guys have already left Pennsylvania, moved to Ohio. It's pretty much they're just following the money. They don't really care about the people in the town. My little brother works for one of these gas companies. You know, they've given a lot of people jobs. They've also caused a lot of harm that isn't going to be seen right now for maybe 5 or 10 years.
But the other thing is, even if we set up a set of conditions for to have stronger enforcement of this work being done, and we allow this work to be done, when things go wrong, which we could have predicted, which we see now happening, you say that supporters of it say it doesn't happen as often as people like Fox claim and Gasland, the film, claims. But to whatever degree it does happen, then we have to go after and we have to seek retribution from those people, restitution from those people.
Bobby, when will your task force reach a final set of recommendations for the governor?
We don't know yet an exact date. Joe Martens, is the commissioner of D.C., has said that the environmental impact statement may not, you know, they've got to read 89,000 comments and respond to them. So I think they've extended the deadline for completing that process to the end of the summer. I want to just say a couple of things. The gas industry for many years has said that the gas coming that makes you light up the faucets and the contamination in groundwater is not coming from us. We now know that that is not true. The EPA just published an extensive report about Pavilion, Wyoming, which it was forced to withhold by political clout by the gas industry for several months. But we now know that, and we've been very, Riverkeeper's been very, very careful about looking at each of these instances of contamination and saying, do we know this is coming from the frack industry, or is this a legacy contamination? And we now know that all over the country this is happening wherever the fracking industry is busy.
And the federal government, I'm not sure if it's the EPA or another agency, just allowed the fracking companies to not disclose what chemicals they're injecting.
Until 30 days after.
Until after they do it.
Right.
This is the Obama administration.
Right. And this demonstrates the extraordinary power that the oil industry has over our democracy.
But people are being sold. I mean, political figures, like for Obama, for example, are being sold the idea that this is going to be a renaissance of American energy production. That moves that were made and drafts that were created by Cheney when he was in office years ago, now all this is coming to fruition, where we're going to have our own homegrown energy, like we're going to start drilling again for oil and we're going to have natural gas.
Cheney's famous energy task force exempted the fracking process from the Safe Drinking Water Act, right?
Exactly.
But then again, people say, well, yeah, we're the Saudi Arabia of natural gas, so if we can find a way to do it, that's still a good thing.
But this is right now, as Bobby said, this is a state issue. The federal government is not getting involved in this too much right now. This is a state issue in New York. And Cuomo is no different than anybody else who he doesn't want to say goodbye to. Tens of thousands of jobs. I mean, he's being given his information. And the industry is providing him with data and opinions, and other people are providing the counterpoint to that.
All right. We have 2 minutes left, so just briefly, Alec, how are you enjoying doing the podcast? Here's the thing.
Oh, I'm enjoying it a lot, yeah. We have a wonderful group of people that are coming in the next few weeks. We have Renee Fleming and Billy Joel and Paul Krugman and I mean, I'm no threat to you or Lopate. I mean, I'm not going to have my own desk Please. Here anytime soon. But I'm enjoying myself.
And you sit down with people like Ed Rollins sometimes? You have to keep yourself from strangling them?
No, not at all. No. I mean, some people are better interview subjects than others. You know, some people hit the ball back, and other people just drop shot you on every question. But I've enjoyed doing it immensely.
And 30 Rock, latest report in the entertainment press is one more short final season. Is that the deal?
I think so. That's what I'm told. I think we're going to do a short season, then we're done.
You want to walk away from it because it's too much?
No, I think NBC needs to start all over again. They need to kind of scrape all the paint off of their schedule and start all over again because they're in such, you know, desperate straits right now.
And, Bobby, I think we're at a moment of no Kennedy in Congress for the first time in over half a century.
I'm hoping to resolve that very, very fast. In November, my nephew, Joe Kennedy, we're hoping.
It's a minor glitch.
Have you any potential to run for office in the future? You've considered it in the past, I think.
Myself? You know, if Alec decides not to run, maybe I will.
You know, I beg him. Every winter we go skiing, I beg him.
And you had that little flirtation with running for mayor, but that's completely dead, right?
I don't think I have time for that now because I got to do the show and to raise money, and you know, I wouldn't be ready to do that by 2013. I mean, I have a real burning interest in doing that someday, but not now.
You thought you could maybe squeeze in running for mayor and still keep the taping schedule going?
I wouldn't be able to squeeze in now. I wouldn't be able to.
Alec Baldwin, you can see him hosting a screening of Gasland at the Landmark Theater in Syracuse, Saturday, June 2nd, 6 p.m. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., president of the environmental group Waterkeeper. His latest article on fracking is on the Huffington Post as of yesterday. Thank you both so much for coming in.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.